It's time for the Apple Watchcast. We're back with so much to talk about, from the latest on the Apple Watch band to the release and reviews of Apple's new Vision Pro, plus reviews of rolling square magnetic charging cables, CamelCamelCamel.com, and the movie Dumb Money. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 460, recorded Monday, February 5th, 2024. Fun with magnets.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Also joining us, I can't help it, is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Well, thank you, Tom. It is great to be here.
Yeah, we did a little Three Stooges thing there. For anybody who's familiar with the Three Stooges, the three hellos. Not quite on note, though. I think tone was off just quite a bit.
It could be.
It's been a while since we've done a show. I apologize.
It feels like everybody. It, yes.
Yeah, it does. We did the tips episode in between. I've been traveling like crazy, so finally back home, able to do a show. And as usual, Apple decides to just release and do everything they possibly can while I'm gone. So we really only have like two basic things to talk about, but they're both huge in the world of Apple. And I guess we'll, anything you want to mention before we start to dive into that? I don't know how else to, they are big deals. They are. And I counted, we had like a record 22 stories, kind of flagged, and there's no way we're getting through all of them. So we'll just hopefully hit the highlights of most of this. Of what's happening. And what I think we'll do, we'll divide this into two parts. First, obviously, all about the watch, what's going on there. And then eventually, yes, we will talk about the Apple Vision Pro, which is the other huge thing from Apple that's happened in the last couple of weeks. So let's talk about the watch. The first thing I want to talk about is this was something we mentioned in the past, and now it's popped up with some more photos. It's kind of a, I hate to start with a rumor thing, but I kind of really like this. There's actually now a little more evidence that Apple actually tested a black titanium Apple Watch Ultra. We now have photos of a band that was apparently tested. It's an Alpine Loop in black with all the black hardware for it.
Right, right.
The lugs, everything that attaches to the watch that look really cool. Now, in the past, I think there was a black ceramic back design that was released. I think it was images were from the FCC in November. And I think that was a prototype of the Apple Watch Ultra. Anyway, everybody kind of thought that, oh, okay, Apple Watch Ultra 2 is going to come in this new color. It didn't happen. Never came to fruition. But I still have hopes, now that we've seen this, that maybe that's what we'll get this year instead of any major updates to the watch. Maybe we'll get some actual different colors.
Yeah, it seems very likely.
Yeah, it does. It seems like the least they could do, right?
You think, yeah.
And I mean the least, really. They're used to making these bands. Why not change it up with some color?
But, what a black Ultra 2 with like the black Milanese loop? Wouldn't that look great?
That would look awesome.
Yeah, like you, like for a wedding and a tux, wearing that, you'd be. It'd be the bomb, man. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm loving the, don't get me wrong, I love my titanium, the natural color. I have the titanium phone that matches. But yeah, it'd be nice to have that. Because I do have some other bands from in the past when I've had the black stainless watch. I had some matching band hardware with different ones that would look even.
I have the same
even, time. Even cooler with the with the Ultra. So anyway. We'll hold out hopes for that. And then this is kind of related, still sort of not confirmed, but no big surprise. But Apple, of course, will do a new event in March, their spring event, in which we will probably see new iPad models, but also hopefully we will get some new bands with some new colors, which is kind of leaked some information here that there might be a new, what they're calling navy blue or emerald, may not be those actual names for the colors. But again, there's a little photo that shows a little bit of what that would look like. Although they seem familiar to me. Maybe I have too many bands, but I think I've got something just like that somewhere, somehow, from someone. So it doesn't seem too crazy.
I'm ready to buy some new bands. I mean, I reviewed the Silver Link, I think the last time we did a show together. And I still enjoy it, but I really haven't spent much money. I guess that one band made up for four or five bands, I guess, for the price. So maybe I am caught up, but I haven't bought any bands in a long time.
I have, what would you call this? A fear of buying new bands. FOMO of some kind. Simply because I'm afraid they're going to change.
Well, they will. The rumor is, right? They're going to change it.
So honestly, I owe Apple a lot of money for some bands that I didn't do this past year. so they must be feeling the hit. That's all I can say, because I did not buy many new ones like I did the year before. Maybe that's an unsubstantiated fear, in that there could be some sort of adapter type thing to make them all work. And maybe I shouldn't do that, but again, you won't know until September what they're actually going to do. That's quite a ways away. So anyway, hopefully there will be some new colors coming out soon in March. This is just kind of a little one-off note. I just wanted to mention it here on the show, that Al Gore is officially too old to serve on the Apple board. So he turned 75.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
That alone is crazy to think about for some of the older folks like us who remember when he was vice president. It was not that long ago.
He's still young enough to run for president.
Well, that's true.
By like 10 years, Vincent.
He would be the youngest of the current candidates, wouldn't he?
That's right.
Anyway, Apple has a longstanding policy that its directors cannot stand for re-election to the board after they reach the age of 75. So that means he's going to retire from the Apple board. He served on the Apple board since 2003. So a little over 20 years.
Wow. And when I read the story, I was like, being that old is crazy, but that's a long time to be on a board.
That is. That is quite a long time. Another person, the chief financial officer of the Boeing company, James Bell, former chief financial officer of Boeing, will also be stepping down due to age. So it must be the same age.
They're considered vintage with Apple, right?
Vintage board member. No. Actually, I think obsolete would be more like it, right? Obsolete, no longer used. So
no, crusty.
Yeah, Al Gore is now obsolete. This is in a statement from Tim Cook. I can't put in a Tim Cook voice. I'm not sure how to do that. Good morning. For more than 20 years, Al has contributed an incredible amount to our work, from his unconditional support for protecting our users' privacy to his incomparable knowledge of the environment and climate issues, is what Tim Cook said in a statement. I think that's an interesting, maybe other boards have the same rule, right? Is that to keep it sort of fresh, right? That
you can't.
It is. Yeah.
It is. But
75, I mean, if you want to keep it fresh, keep them, that'd lower that number.
If you have it baked in your bylaws. Yeah. I mean, when you're.
But then again, if you're a member of a board, isn't that usually people who've retired from a successful career? And now all they do is serve on the board. So I guess have to keep the age up there, I guess, a bit.
I believe like some companies actually have age limits for the CEOs. I think IBM had one like 62 or something. You had to retire.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. So a lot of companies do that too.
Right. Right. Interesting. Anyway.
It is.
Yeah. We'll miss him being on the board. All right. What else is going on here? Okay. The big story for the Apple Watch. You know, this story has changed so much over the time since we last talked about it that I kind of just deleted some of these articles because they became obsolete, no longer relative. So apparently what has transpired by the time you listen to this is Apple has removed the Pulse Ox out of the watch, the Series 9 and the Ultra 2, the ability to do that. They did not change the hardware. They simply changed the fact that it can't do it anymore. And this is all stemming from the fact that, what was it? Let's kind of, I guess we could run through this really quickly as far as what happened, right? Because there was so much to put into context, if you will, that this started January of 2023, last year. The U.S. court ruled that Apple had infringed on one of Masimo's pulse oximetry technology patents with the Apple Watch. In October, the ITC agreed with the decision, upheld the court's ruling. As a result, Apple was forced to stop selling the Series 9 and the Ultra 2 in the U.S. The ban was then put on hold while Apple appealed to the U.S. court. However, the appeal was rejected, and Apple had to halt sales again. The solution was to remove the pulse oximeter technology from the Apple Watch model sold in the U.S. This is only in the U.S. So that is where we currently stand. If you want to buy a Series 9 or buy an Ultra 2, it comes without that. Now, what has been discovered since then is that the revised models without the feature have a part number ending in LW/A. So apparently what Apple has done, and they were prepared for this a while back. They thought this might happen, you know, worst case scenario. They remotely updated a system file responsible for managing the availability of health features by region. The update disabled the blood oxygen feature for any Apple Watch models with the identifier LW/A, which probably means that they could reverse it in the future. But the most interesting thing is the file blocking this feature was uploaded to Apple servers in October, same month that the ITC upheld the judge ruling on the patent infringement. So they were ready.
Certainly. This, yeah, they knew it was coming.
They knew it was a possibility. And that's really where we stand right now. Since then, there's been a lot of talk going back and forth, which is just, it's crazy. Again, I'll put on my Tim Cook thing, but in a recent interview, he said, "Good morning. We're focused on appeal." He said, "There's a lot of reasons to buy the watch, even without the blood oxygen sensor." Basically saying, we ain't settling.
I'm
not giving Masimo a dime, which is what I predicted they were doing all along. Despite what Masimo was, the CEO of Masimo was saying, is that, or Masimo, is it Masimo or Masimo? I know I'm screwing this up.
I think Masimo would have two S's. So
Masimo.
Masimo.
Okay. Okay. Masimo. Despite that, the CEO of Masimo has been, in every interview, he's taken the time to scream out the fact that they're available for a settlement. Because I think that's the whole reason this thing happened.
That's right.
Yeah. And that statement tells me that Tim Cook would rather appeal this to death than pay them anything.
That's right.
Which is just crazy.
He is sticking to what he wants to do. And when's the last time the little guy beat the big guy? Doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't. This type of a win, if you will, ruling does not happen very often, but it's interesting that it took a trade commission, an ITC ruling to do it. It wasn't through a court, right? When they tried to sue, when they sued, it ended in a hung jury. With only one exception. In other words, Apple almost won that one. So I can see why Apple would not want to.
Exactly. Yep. there's a lot of politicking going on every day with the ITC, I'm sure too. So things will happen over the year. This story's right. not going away.
So if you go to the website, it says Apple Watch Series 9 and Ultra 2 no longer include the blood oxygen feature. That's a little banner during your checkout process that you'll see on both models of the watch.
You don't pay any less, though. But, yeah.
No. I didn't reduce the price. No. The feature is still technically there. You just can't get to it. But anyway, I thought it was interesting. They had this ready a long time ago. I'm sure they drew out, you know, possible things that would happen, right?
Exactly.
as it went through the whole process. Mm-hmm. So where we are now is what? We're just waiting for this appeals process to continue, I guess. I mean, yep,
back and forth and the countersuit.
Right. Right. Yeah. Now, what I thought was kind of interesting also during the last couple of weeks when this was all going down is that the Massimo CEO claimed that when Apple said, no, we're going to turn off the feature rather than pay you, he said, oh, well, users are better off without blood oxygen feature. He called it unreliable.
Yeah, that was odd. Wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
He said, his name's Keani. He said he criticized Apple for masquerading the health feature as a reliable medical pulse oximeter, saying that consumers are better off without it.
I found it somewhat accurate because every time I went and got mine done with a doctor or another device, the Apple Watch was very close to the other device. So I found it very accurate.
So Apple responded by saying that the feature is reliable and can save lives. Mm-hmm. And just to prove the point, trust me, I have no idea how this happens. Because if you're like a conspiracy theory person, you'd think, well, interesting timing on this little article, right? The Apple Watch blood oxygen feature actually helped a doctor save an air passenger's life during this whole thing. This woman on a flight to Verona, Italy, from Birmingham in the UK, a woman in her 70s was found short of breath, prompting the cabin crew to search for a doctor on board. The doctor came in to help, and apparently she had a history of heart issues and did not immediately respond to the doctor's queries. In other words, I don't know if she was passing out or what. So he used an Apple Watch he borrowed from a crew member to try and monitor her vitals, and it helped him find out she had a very low oxygen saturation. So they gave her oxygen right there, an oxygen cylinder that was on board, until the plane landed in Italy. An hour later, she recovered quickly before disembarking, aided by medical staff. So, yeah, interesting timing on the story, but that just proves that an Apple Watch can save a life with that feature that is now banned in the U.S.
Yeah, we've talked about 50 stories at least about that.
Yes, of all different types. So I don't know. I don't know where this is all going to end up with this ban. Now, and again, coincidentally or not, now in the recent CES, Massimo has unveiled their new smartwatch. Won't be ready to the end of this year. Very health-centric watch. Looks nothing like the Apple Watch. It's round. It looks more like a Samsung to me.
Right.
Round display, navigation touch bar, no digital crown or rotating bezel. They're calling it the Freedom smartwatch.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Freedom.
Freedom. Well, yeah.
you know, though, you can go. You can now buy Apple Watches at the Canadian border, though.
Oh.
Along with your Cubans.
Exactly.
Okay.
Give me a cigar and Ultra 2.
You know, they may not know about the band. You can just wear it. Right? No, it's my watch.
That's right.
What do you mean you want me to look for my blood? My blood oxygen has nothing to do with security. What are you doing? Anyway, they're saying that their blood oxygen tech is better than others for doing all sorts of things. It'll also be able to track your hydration index, respiration rate, pulse rate, variability, I can't speak. Variability, pulse rate, steps, detect if you've fallen over, sleep tracking, all the usual suspects.
What does it work with? Does it work with the iPhone?
Because it doesn't say. It doesn't say. They don't yet have FDA approval, or they haven't set up they do yet. And it's going to cost, sit down, hold still while I say this, $999.
Wow.
All right. All right. So that guy's got a problem. First of all, there's all kinds of ways Apple can try to block his approval with the FDA, right? Or the government approvals. That's how they're going to get back at him.
Well, they're going to probably just, like you said, file counter loss of counter suits against some of the technology in the watch, if nothing else, just to do it. But you can put down, you can reserve one right now. $100 deposit will get you one. So
you can have an Apple Watch for $200 less, or that thing.
Right. Now, it all depends on how much health stuff you want and how reliable you think it is. And that's what they're betting on, right? That's the only reason they'd be doing this. So we shall see. Mm-hmm. It's too bad it came down to this, really.
You're actually right. That is the bad part. There's so much there's a lot of synergy that Apple can bring to the market with their technology. It just, you know, two companies fighting it out. It never, you know, we're always a loser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. That's, and they just couldn't work it out. Right. And from the very beginning, had they worked together, this could have been something. But.
And Tom, I remember from the original stories or some of the earlier stories, they hired a lot of their people and they recreated it. Is that what it was? Not versus stealing the patent.
Right. And to me, that is a bit shady, but it's not illegal and it's not, and it's not, you know, it's not a cool thing to do, but they really couldn't work it out. But when I think what happened is whoever was in charge, the person they hired to do this from his company, from Massimo's company, should have known that they were getting very close to, well, we're going to be sued if we do it this way.
Agree.
Somewhere in there, a decision was made by higher ups or someone, or wasn't caught or thought the risk was worth it. And maybe that's the big mistake by Apple for this, right? Mm-hmm. That this embarrassment, this PR kind of fiasco could have been avoided if they had only been a little more diligent in how they went about doing it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, exactly. It's unfortunate, but that's where we are. And they've as we mentioned before, Massimo sued other companies and won big judgments from it. And they thought they could really get some money from Apple, but Tim Cook is not opening the checkbook at all.
I'm wondering, I mean, the Samsung Galaxy Watch also has a blood oxygen. I wonder whether they license it or they have their own tech on that.
Yeah. That's interesting. I haven't read anything about that in all these stories, these articles. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard anything as to whether they license it. They may do it a different way, or they may license it.
Mm-hmm. Or they might get sued next. Who knows?
Or they may be next on the list. Let's see. We got nothing from Apple. Okay, now we're going after. Mm-hmm. That's how it works, right? typically, that's how it works. We'll keep following this story. As it develops, but you know, it brings up a question of, and I put an article in here just for us to talk about, but Lifehacker was the site.
Yeah.
This is by Beth Skwarecki. Beth, I can't pronounce your name. Skwarecki. Anyway, she says, the headline of this article is, you probably don't need the Apple Watch blood oxygen feature anyway. She says, if you were planning on buying the new Series 9 or Ultra 2, it will be missing that feature, but should you care? Mm-hmm. So her point was, it wasn't all that useful in the first place to the average person, although we just talked about a story where it saved someone's life.
Yeah.
So
I read that and I disagreed with it. I mean,
did you? Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I used it all. When you're not feeling well, that's the first thing I looked at.
Hmm. Oh, really? Yeah. Has it ever been off? Way off a number?
No, that's what I said. I've I've used, you know, I've compared it to other devices at doctor's office or at home, and it's always been really close.
Mm. Yeah. It basically, to sum up this article, she says, in short, while there are certainly Apple Watch users who like the feature and would be disappointed if it goes away, I don't think most of us will miss it. Wearables are unlikely to ever be as accurate as hospital-style pulse oximeters, and the watches provide little to no guidance on what you should actually do with the data. Now, that point I do agree with. It gives me a number. What does that mean? What do I do with it, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, a quick Google search will help you with that. But
Right.
But look, we've always talked about it's not to replace anything. It's to give you guidance. It's guidance. Right. Which way it's going. If it's high, if it's low, it'll help you. It's a good feature. And will we miss it? In the big picture, maybe not. But when you put all of it together, it makes the watch what it is. So it's just another piece of the puzzle that comes out. But the puzzle is still pretty good.
Yeah. And I did hear from some listeners, one in particular that kind of dinged us for not one of our last shows. We talked about this. Mm. Didn't realize that it does monitor it in the background.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
especially during sleep. And that's true. And people who really need to monitor it for health reasons may or may not already have a different device specifically mm-hmm. for that. Mm-hmm. So I don't. That's where I can't. We really can't speak to the accuracy of it. But it is something that some people really, really got used to having, right? Yeah. And now, unless they hang on to their old watch, in the future, they're not going to be able to replace that watch with one that does it yet. Mm-hmm. Well, we still have to see what Apple's going to do with that. But there you are.
So yeah, let's put our crystal ball in front of each of us and predict when this is all going to be, when it'll be back in the watch. Before the end of the year?
I think that the next watch release, Apple has to solve this one way or the other.
Yeah.
All right. I can see that. So the fall of this year, it'll be solved.
And I'll tell you why. One thing I did notice in researching some of this in different stories is what's coming from Apple. And one of the things we talked about that is around the corner that Apple wants to add to the as a health feature of the watch is sleep apnea detection. You have to have a blood oxygen feature to do that. You can't tout that you can't track sleep apnea without tracking the blood oxygen. So if they don't have it, they can't do that part of it. And that was going to be a big thing for Apple coming up, I think, in this next watch. Mm-hmm. Was one more feature, right? So this is kind of critical for that reason. So anyway.
By the way, I did look up here while we were talking. Massimo is teamed with Samsung on something called Massimo's Safety Net. Wow. So I have to look and see what that is, but there is some partnership there.
Okay. That's cool. That's interesting.
Huh. Yeah. Now in this article, I think that my only comment is in the actual comments. That was actually a really good point in terms of the folks that are actually use it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like any kind of instrument, if you're measuring it and you have a baseline, I guess that's the deviation from that baseline that lets you know, hey, you know, something's wrong or something. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be 100% accurate all the time.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Because if you're not feeling well, you need to go to a doctor anyway.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Regardless of what your watch tells you, you should go. But you're right. This would at least alert you to something you may not be feeling yet, but it's the watch is noticing something a little different. And that goes for all the sensors on the watch, right?
Certainly. Yeah.
The heart rate, all that stuff that it's tracking is important to do that baseline, as you said, Vincent. So, but yeah, I think, unfortunately, as we move forward, a lot of these sensors are going to be tied together to make certain features work. So if you're missing one piece of that puzzle, it doesn't work.
Yeah, otherwise it just can, you know, listen to see whether or not you're snoring.
So, right, well, there is that. Yes, yeah, that's kind of the low entry point.
Low
there
tech for, version. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You should let your spouse or significant other just whacking you upside the shoulder or something.
Well, isn't that what some of these thermostats and things do now is they listen for your smoke alarm, and then they send you a notification. In other words, the thermostat is not a smoke alarm. It cannot detect smoke, but it can hear and listen for that sound and alert you to that. That's kind of cool, and that's happening as well. So why not the way you sleep, right?
Very true. Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Same thing. Right. Set off an alert. So that's where we stand with the watch, unfortunately. Kind of
the
wait.
Story and continues.
Wait and see, and it will change, ever changing. All right, let's move on to the other big news that Apple had this week, and I have to start with which I sent you guys a text on. This was quite a while back, a couple of weeks ago, but the first ad that Apple did, which is called Get Ready. Mm-hmm. And it's a commercial of all kinds of people from pop culture putting on goggles or glasses or headsets of some kind. Everything from young Frankenstein to Ant-Man to Iron Man to Snoopy, you name it. They're putting on goggles. And it's so fun to watch this. And it's a great tie back to the first iPhone. Mm-hmm. Apple did a commercial called, it was Hello. And it was just all these clips of movies and TV shows of people picking up the phone, which is a beautiful ad and worked so well. And they're trying to recreate that here, but with the Vision Pro. It is pretty fun, all the clips pretty that awesome. They found. I'll put a link in the show notes to it. To me, this is a kind of ad, if you worked in advertising, you would die to be able to do. It is so much fun to come up
What's
with.
What's the licensing like? Every time I watch those clips, like, you've done more of that than I have. I mean,
it's outrageous. And
it has to be.
And the only one that they probably got slightly less is Snoopy, just because they kind of do that and they own that now, right? Right. Mm-hmm. But the rest of them cost them a bundle. We're talking everything from Marvel, Disney, just every single thing you can think of in films. Now, the only thing going for them is their short clips.
Yeah.
But you've got to license every single one of them.
You do.
And it can cost a ridiculous amount of money to do that. Getting just even music rights is crazy enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to use actual clips of films is ooh, man. Yeah. So
Apple can afford it.
you know what this is? This is what we used to call we would do to show the client what we could do for something, we would do a demo. And by that, I mean, we would take clips of all different other commercials with little clips of scenes that are similar to what we want to shoot for the commercial, put it together with music and voiceover to give them a feel for this is what we want to make. And so many of them have demo love that when they see it, they want that. They don't want to change it. They want that. And this reminds me of something you would put together and the client would say, I want that. And in Apple's case, they went ahead and did it. they just paid for it.
Said, okay. How much is that going to cost?
Right. How many billions of dollars have they spent developing the Vision Pro? This was just a tiny little sliver.
A couple of million dollars.
Maybe more than that.
It would be, yeah. Yeah, I know that I'm not an expert by any means, but I know that just by listening to podcasts and experiencing other media and talking about using 15-second music clips in a TV show is $50,000.
Right.
So it can be pretty hefty.
And what was interesting to me was they were using the actual audio from these clips, music and audio. So there's nothing. They're not just showing a montage of scenes to their own music or any music track. They're using the actual clips and sounds. which has to up that cost a bit too.
Yeah.
But then again, they're Apple. I'm sure they were able to leverage this somehow, right?
Yeah, that relationship, whatever they have.
Lots of free Vision Pros to all the creators.
Maybe that's what it is.
Now, did you notice that, okay, this is just one sign of how Apple's trying to tie this into the kind of the history of Apple, you know, as a nod back to something familiar. The release date, excuse me, I'm losing my voice here. The release date of the Vision Pro, I do believe, was the same day as the Mac, the original Mac, was it not?
Oh, January 19th, huh?
The pre-order day, right?
Pre-order day. Huh.
So they're definitely trying to tie the history here, the nostalgia, together.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes. You can have a look at that commercial.
Speaking of commercials, the Super Bowl is this Saturday. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Oh, Sunday.
Sunday.
Okay, so there's your question. Will Apple have an ad?
Oh, certainly.
100%. I mean, everywhere you look on your phone, or your apps in your phone has a Vision Pro ad in it.
Yeah. Right, but Apple's also the sponsor of the halftime show.
Oh man.
They're going to come out in Vision Pros.
That's right.
They're giving Vision Pros to everyone at the Super Bowl.
There you go. Look under your seat. Look under your seat.
Oh, man.
No, sorry. They can't make that many. It should be interesting because they, I don't think they've done a Super Bowl ad in a long time. Because they don't have to, right? And this would tie in again with the original Mac, right? The big Super Bowl 1984 ad. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
That'll be fun.
Well, is Usher, is he doing the Super Bowl?
Usher, Apple Music, yeah.
One, that'll be fantastic. And two, can you imagine him coming up like, you know, emerging from the floor with a Vision Pro on?
Totally.
And like his band, the drummer's got Vision Pro on. I mean,
all the dancers or whatever. Dancers.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
No, I think the entire game's, all the players are going to be wearing Vision Pro. That's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
It'd be the worst Super Bowl ever. So something to look forward to this Sunday coming up here. So that was a big kickoff. And then I'm kind of going through these stories, kind of answering questions that I had about it, because we've talked about this in the past a bit. There, just to confirm, there is a guest mode for your friends to try it out. So anyone who's not registered to the device can try it out with certain apps and experiences without having to set up an account. So that's nice. That's confirmation that they can do that. They don't have to go through the whole scanning your eye stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. What if they have glasses or contacts, though?
That is a problem. That is a problem that Apple has not solved. And that's a problem with any of these devices. I don't care if it's Apple's or anyone else's. If you've got glasses, how do you... Now, some of them, I think you can wear glasses while wearing them, right? Some other devices, headsets, but not with Apple's.
Yeah, because of the eye tracking and all the stuff that has to do.
I guess so. I wonder if it would work if you put it on without. First of all, it would hurt. It'd be very uncomfortable.
With glasses?
Yeah, I don't know how how you'd be able to make it light seal, you know, around the edge, that sort of thing. But. And by the way, everything we're talking about the Vision Pro, I watched, I'll put a link again in the show notes. Marques Brownlee has done three videos on, he has done three videos on the Vision Pro. One is unboxing. One is using it, what it's actually like, and then another is just kind of an overall review of it when he's had it for a little while, which I think is the best way to do it, right? It's not you can't just wear it once and review it. He's put it through some paces. I love the fact that he unboxed it and we got to see all of that, and you got to see it answered most of my questions. Just watching this video, I kind of now know what it would have been like to get one. Right. And by the way, neither one of you ordered one, right?
No, I'm waiting for the Vision Pro Max.
Okay. So,
I'm waiting for the 25% discount.
That's still not enough. But he addresses all of that in these reviews. Very good review about the price, all the things that you know people are concerned about, the price, whether it's practical, the good, the bad. I mean, he does all of it. It's not just a glowing review of, oh wow, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Which is, it's a mixed bag, right? And it's not for everybody, but the potential is pretty spectacular, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the strangest product Apple's ever made, I think, is his kind of his bottom line is this does not, there's just something about it that seems not like Apple, but not like Apple. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. anyway, go ahead. Yeah. What were you saying?
No, I just, it's similar YouTube video of another person kind of showing the experience with pinning the different screens in different locations around the house.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Just be able to like have it, give you that information in context with as AR. That I thought was something that, I mean, and that and plugging it into your Mac and working in terms of an unlimited screen space, that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
And it's as you mentioned, it's unlike any device that anyone ever has reviewed in the past, I don't know how many years, because most of the stuff that gets reviewed is this is the, you know, whatever version of this is just here are the updates to this device. Here's the little features it now has. This is all new. Now, there are other headsets out there that have been reviewed, but for Apple, this is new. And what Apple's chosen to do is different than other makers of headsets. I'm more excited about the technology and the UI, the way it tracks your eyes and your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that interface is more exciting than just watching it, you know, a really cool movie on the moon or wherever the space happens to be, right? Where that leads, you know, in the future. But the device itself is pretty odd in some of the choices that they made. And again, that just has to do with the device itself, a headset.
That's what I was thinking too, because it is kind of, you know, big and clunky behind your head, but it's so different than the watch is a wearable. It's so different than the phone. You know, it's just so different. It's almost like a little bit of a culture change in how you do things, where you picked up the phone really, really quickly, right? That was something that a smartphone was easy to pick up and use. This is going to be something that's more a slow burn, I think. And then the technology just gets better. It gets better and smaller and faster, and you know, you'll pick up on it.
Yeah, he mentioned something I thought was pretty interesting, because it kind of goes straight to what a lot of people I've heard their comments about this was, you're going to look silly wearing this. He says, okay, well, he goes, if you think about it, if you go to a coffee shop and you sit down and you're working on something with your computer, he showed an image of some guy sitting there with a computer with a side monitor at the coffee shop staring at the screen. And side by side, he put two people with Vision Pro sitting there, kind of relaxed back, you know, tapping with their fingers. He goes, pick your poison. I mean, both look a little silly in a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of them, you can see what the person's doing. The other one, you can't. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he talks about going on an airplane. He's excited to go on an airplane to be able to do things like edit video and not have the screen on his computer be black, blank, and no one can tell what he's doing. You know, it completely hides your work, right? Mm-hmm. And then again, he's also working on a screen bigger than he could ever take on a plane to edit or do whatever he's doing. So, you know, it's got those plus and minuses. I don't know. I don't know about this. Now, Ming Chi Kuo, our good friend, Apple analyst, has said that Apple has sold between 160 and 180,000 of them in the first pre-order weekend. So I'm sure that number's up by now. He believes that shipping 500,000 units this year would not be challenging. So he thinks they can do at least that.
Yeah, wasn't there rumor that a whole bunch of them were like ordered by bots and then put on eBay or something like that?
Yeah,
they really were. I haven't heard that.
The prices on eBay are like $6,000.
Mm. That's ridiculous,
isn't it? I mean, just go to the Apple website and buy one. I don't get why we'd go to eBay and do it.
You know what, though? I mean, I'm looking at Apple's app right now, the App Store on the phone. I can't buy it without going through this whole rigmarole because I wanted to see how far out the date was, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no buy now button. Isn't that crazy?
Just saying, what, 7 weeks out or something like that? But yeah, you can't add it to cart.
I guess if I say get started, but then it's going to, it's going to try to scan my face and size my head and all that stuff before I can even just say buy it?
Yeah.
Seems so.
Yeah, well.
And look at the power of Apple, too. If they sold 500,000 units, they just created a $1 billion company.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just being a $1 billion company is amazing, let alone one product within your company being $1 billion, right? It's amazing.
Yeah, I forget who it was. Maybe it was Marcus Brown. Someone was talking about how even if they sold every one of them, it's like 0.01% of their normal billions that they take in.
You can look at it that way.
Well, they joked. He said they probably make more on their $20 polishing cloth.
Yeah.
So, see, okay, I clicked on it to buy it, and it says Apple Store would like to access your camera.
There it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's find your fit. Oh, man. That means I got to go through this whole thing. Yeah. I have to position my face in the screen.
Yes, I'm at the same place.
It's like the Face ID.
It's a Face ID, yeah.
Continue. Yep. Let me do it again.
Are they going to buy this on live on the podcast?
I think Vincent, he's buying three of them, one for each of us.
I need yours
for the auction later on.
Your face has been measured. Oh man. Oh, and then it gives you the option of removing the scan.
Yeah, say if it needs to keep it, it's going to ask you for your permission to keep it.
So saying get started, answer a few more. Oh, man, this is taking too long.
Tom,
it's a
whole new wearable. It's going to be a new process.
Let's see. I wear prescription glasses. Okay. For both far away and close up, include a prism value. Sure. I don't know if it does. I can't. Okay. It doesn't support a prescription for your eyes with a prism value. Oh. Okay. So let me say no. Zeiss lenses. Okay. Continue. Personalize your, oh my goodness. You can engrave your name or initials directly on the inserts. So you can identify them as yours. Wow. You want to add engraving to your lenses and your, is that not crazy? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, so that, yeah, they're yours.
Why doesn't it just read your eyes and say, okay, these are Chris's, this is Chris's Vision Pro, not
right,
Tom's.
Just like that little farm thing that you do at the optometrist, it just measures your
burp. Then, okay, I'm choosing the 1 terabyte version. It's $4,048.
Add to cart.
Hold on, let's see.
You want my address, Tom?
Apple Pay.
Finance or buy? I'm going to say buy.
Mm-hmm.
Add Apple Care.
$2,000.
2 years of Apple Care coverage is $499.
Ooh, that's an iPad.
That's hefty.
Or monthly $25 a month.
Yeah. Of course, that doesn't sound bad, but okay, still, that's a lot of money.
All right, I'm adding it to the bag. Do I need accessories?
What are the accessories?
Extra battery pack.
A travel case for $200.
Okay, yeah.
A keyboard, a trackpad, a Belkin battery holder.
The sign for your back that says, I'm not a nerd.
Another battery. You can buy another battery for $200.
Wow. That's not bad.
I think I'm just going to continue to skip those.
You're at $5,000 right now.
I'm at $4,048. I didn't add those accessories. So
you can go buy a used Mini Cooper for that.
Okay, where's the... Oh, here we go. Oh, okay. If I do this now, today's February 5th. It will deliver February 26th through March 5th.
Oh, that's so cool. You just buy it, Tom. Can't you expense it and your taxes for the podcast?
I can get it tomorrow. It's available at my Apple store.
Well, look at that.
In store tomorrow. What does that tell you?
Why did it do the whole scan thing? Why did it scan your face? Why did it care?
For the size, that's the size of the light shield or whatever, the size of your head they put in the bag.
Okay.
Now 7 to 10 days for delivery of the lenses. But that's kind of scary. I can get it tomorrow if I click the wrong button here. I'm gonna close the app now.
Very, very tempting.
Very tempting. $4,000. Woo.
Tom, it should be tax deductible as a business expense because you run the podcast.
Now, that ain't going to fly with my accountant.
No.
I also heard that people were buying them, trying them out, and returning them within 2 weeks. It's only a 2-week return policy on these, by the way, I think.
Mm.
2 weeks. And I guess you could return them and easily just say, it made me sick. I can't do it. And get your money back.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess the thing is, I think they realize once people try them on and use them, they're going to keep them. No one's going to return it in 2 weeks, right?
You would think.
Very few. Mm. Now, if you go to the store, the Apple store, it's a whole different process than what I just did here on the phone. They take you, it's like a 25 minute deal, and they take you through the whole thing. It's quite amazing process. So, and I think when you first come in, you make an appointment and then they ask you, are you ready to buy it right now? Or do you need a demo? Right. So if you say now, they just, boom, you buy it and you're out. But if you say demo, then you know, it takes one person, like a personal assistant, will be with you the whole time until the point of sale. So,
by the way, I followed you through that whole process until you started adding the add-ons. It is kind of a cool process, though.
Now I got to figure out if I have Prism in my prescription, because if I do,
it's pretty rare.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. I mean, I have progressive lenses. But I don't think that's Prism.
No, I don't think so.
Mm. No, I would guess not.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Well done. That was kind of cool.
Now, if you have contact lenses, I guess you don't need to go through that, do you?
I don't know. I haven't heard of anybody like using them with contact lenses, and whether or not that messes up the
focus
or anything like that.
I had the LASIK surgery 12 years ago, and my eyes have changed to the point that they're different. So I can see really good close up and decently far away. Because, you know, when you get LASIK, they ask you, you know, do you want to have the eyes different just for that reason? And mine kind of did that naturally. So I wonder what it'd be like putting the Vision Pro on, because, I can still see clearly up front without glasses.
Let me put it this way. If you're sitting in a room watching television, do you need your glasses?
I do not.
Then you're probably okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you can read the text on your TV at that distance,
fair point.
You're good. You're probably
my eyes are clearly different when it comes to. And my doctor, eye doctor tells me every year, right? This eye is a little different than this eye. But all right, that's very fair thought, because I can easily see my TV and read everything on it.
Well, okay. What you should do, Chris, is go to an Apple store, make an appointment, go to the Apple store. They'll take you through the whole thing. You don't have to buy it. But you'll at least try it on and see if you can do it without your glasses.
I'm going to do that.
And that way you'll know, hey,
I don't wear glasses.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No.
Oh, then you're fine. You're fine.
Yeah. I don't wear glasses. I just, my eyes are different though. They're not I guess maybe everyone's eyes are different, but mine are noticeably different as far as the from seeing far away and seeing close up.
Right. Yeah. I had the LASIK as well a number of years back, and the eyes changed again. And so now I can get by close up, but, glasses help, but distance, I'm okay through most of the day, but if I have to drive anywhere, I need...
Yeah, don't drive with them on.
No, I need glasses to drive.
That's what I do. I drive at night with glasses. That's it. Rest of the time, I'm fine.
Right. Okay, so now that we've talked all about our prescriptions, one thing that's tied to the Apple Watch and the Vision Pro is the double tap gesture, right? Mm-hmm. Love double tap on the watch. Kind of worried about what would happen if you put on an Apple Vision Pro, which also does tapping with the fingers. Turns out there's a new feature that it's going to be introduced in Watch OS 10.4 and iOS 17.4. It's in the betas right now. But this feature will allow you to opt out to ignore the double tap gesture on the Apple Watch while you're wearing Vision Pro. This lets the Vision Pro win out when making the selection gesture. Mm-hmm. And when you're not wearing the Vision Pro, double tap works as expected on the Apple Watch. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. They figured it out. Because I knew that Apple doing the double tap on the watch was just their way of getting you ready for this Vision Pro. Or they simply perfected it with Vision Pro and said, hey, let's do it on the watch too.
Yeah, true.
But anyway, pretty cool. If you're interested in what the Vision Pro looks like inside, iFixit has already done a teardown.
Of course they have.
And they said I haven't watched this whole teardown video yet. I'll put a link in the show notes for it.
Intriguing.
Is it? they did mention, they said that the headset is too complicated for one video and promises a later one showing just how deep this rabbit hole goes. So that should be interesting, but yeah, they dissect it, right? Well, that's the thing that in a lot of the reviews, and by the way, the reason we're not going into this in too much detail is there's so many reviews out there. If you haven't seen it yet, I mean, how you can avoid it. But the front of this thing, unlike other devices, is glass and metal, where others are made out of plastic and they're a lot lighter. Apple spared no expense in materials in making this device, and it shows it in the weight. And the one thing I've heard from everybody reviewing it is, you know, the cool looking band around the back of your head is great if you're only going to wear it for a short time. If you wear it for much longer, you need to switch it out to the other strap, which goes over the top of your head, messes up your hair. But it goes over the top of your head and distributes the weight even better. And that's what all the other makers of headsets do. Apple just came out with a really cool one for the back, which I do love the fact that you just turn the wheel, tighten it. The cables or whatever it is in there, the threads. It's a really nice design. But you think they'll come out in the future, like we have Apple Watch bands with different bands for the Vision Pro?
I don't see why not. Yeah.
Spring colors, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, third parties are pretty sure we're going to have it.
Yeah. Now, it does have a very proprietary power connector that we've never seen on an Apple device before.
Yeah. The Super Thunderbolt.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I'm hearing it being called.
It's a circular, like, click and turn kind of thing.
Oh, that thing. That thing. The power
button. That thing. Yeah.
Not the other side.
Oh, no, the other side is just, it looks like it's just a normal power USB-C, doesn't it?
Oh, it's a huge Thunderbolt.
Yeah, it looks like it's a pretty big one, yeah.
Okay. Because I heard somebody saying that you could attach another battery to the battery. Right? To extend the battery life, you can connect another external battery to it as a power source.
Okay.
Because that's how you charge it, right? You plug it in, put it in the wall. If you plug in another battery, it's going to charge the device through that battery. In other words, if you're on the go and don't want to be tied down to an outlet, you can, which gives you infinite battery power, right? If you plug in and sit down. But if you're on the go, you can carry an extra battery pack with you and keep it going. Someone did that in New York. They walked all around New York City with it. Which is kind of crazy to do, okay. what else? Vision Pro, anything?
I got to have an over and under, Tom. You're not over and under when you buy it. You're not going to buy it within 6 months, nine months?
I'm torn. You know what? If we weren't in the middle of doing some renovations in the house, I probably would have been there day one. But I was also out of town. I couldn't do it. Mm. There was no way to do it. So I'm kind of resigned to the fact that I will, once things settle down, and I mean the hype, right? I want to be able to go into an Apple store and get a demo of it and see it and try it out, and then I'll probably make a decision.
You know, so they have one available at your local mall.
I know they do. Tomorrow. I click now, I go pick it up tomorrow. But
I think I'm going to go try it out. Yeah. If I didn't have I just had my daughter's wedding, so my son's wedding is in a couple months. So If I didn't have two weddings.
Right, right. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I probably would have bought this just out of pure curiosity.
Yeah.
And really, really worked it. Because it is really, really cool. I just didn't want to fork out the money right now.
Makes a great wedding gift, Chris.
My son listens to the podcast. He'll probably text me in a day or two.
I think it just made it to the registry. And all the accessories are on the registry. Mm-hmm. You can get them right there.
I just walked into that one, didn't I?
Big time. But yeah, it's not a matter of priorities. The bottom line is it's a really cool toy right now. Right?
I
hate to use that word, but it makes it sound cheap. It's not, but it's the future of what things could be.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And don't think of it as anything more than that. If you have the money and you want to play around with something really cool and futuristic, go for it. But the average person is not going to, number one, do that, and number two, not get enough benefit out of it, probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It used to be where there was a point in time where if you started your job, you had to learn how to use a laptop. You just had to do it. There will be a time where you will have to know how to function and work with a Vision Pro spatial computing. I can see my kids graduating from school and they go into the workspace, and that's how they function. Who knows?
Can you imagine in the future a job where you sit down, you put on one of these devices, and the windows that you're calling up all around you are nothing but AI generating machines, and you're creating images and text and just creating all this stuff through AI.
Yeah,
while sitting there wearing the that is just
you're going to be talking to your AI through that.
That's
the interface. It's not going to be clicking on the mouse.
Can Apple make this wearing these goggles the norm? I don't know, because every time Apple, when they came out with the AirPods, people thought, "Oh, you're going to look like a fool wearing those things." Mm. And nope, it turned out to be pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm. I think they have the same. The same obstacle here or hurdle to get over is right now it looks unnatural. But if anybody can make it look good, it's going to be Apple, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this thing that Delta Airlines and American Airlines better be worried, because you can do your business meetings and not travel and still be in the room with everyone. You can do whiteboarding. You can do everything you usually do, presenting, and you're there with them. That'd be kind of cool.
Now, on those Marques Brownlee reviews, they did a FaceTime thing. Mm-hmm. They got some other famous reviewers all together, and they showed it. And it's a little, I don't know. That's one thing they haven't perfected. It looks a little goofy.
It's still early. Early days.
It's very early. Yeah, it's very early.
Yeah. It does look goofy, but I think we're all on the same page. It's the first, they're getting it out there, right? It's the first of a kind, and it's going to get better. Yeah.
Now think about the first Mac. If you can remember back, it cost about the same, but in 1984 dollars, it was like over $7,000, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot back then.
It was way more than this is, and it was considered a toy, right? And it was because you couldn't really do any serious business work on it at the time. But it was amazing to play with. I think that's where we might be with this, but we'll have to see.
Mm. Oh, we are. There's no doubt in my mind. In 20 years, 10 years, it's going to be so different.
Hmm. But can they get it down to the, you know, smallest, lightest version where it doesn't seem so...
Just like glasses, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they can ever get there. I don't know that that can happen.
And also the wearing something on your face for a long mm-hmm. period of time. So if you're sitting alone mm-hmm. in your office working yeah. from home and using it to do your day-to-day business, I can see that happening. But having something on your face for 6 out of 8 hours, that's physically could be wearing you out.
You know, I have not yet seen someone wear this on the slopes because it fits right in.
Well,
it would not look that odd, would it?
Because they're up at the bar, Vincent, with it on, and they're skiing and drinking at the same time.
Yeah. But then again, think back, like even on the phone, right? The first cellular, no one's going to hold this thing up to your ear like that when you're walking around, you know, how weird is that? You should be sitting down at home mm-hmm. with a phone and a cord, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Became normal. To the point where people, you know, use it too much, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see where this goes. It should be interesting.
No, the next generations are going to be freaking crazy.
You put your Vision Pro on and diagnosis when you don't feel good. I mean, all those things are going to happen.
Well, yeah, it is pretty exciting to think about. I just love the eye tracking and the clicking with your fingers. To me, that is the most magical thing because everybody has said it's just flawless. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a huge leap forward.
I really want to buy one. I really do.
Have you seen anybody with two Vision Pros in one room? Like look at each other? I mean, that's like, I don't know what you would see. You just see that.
You see a person standing. Well, it depends on how much you dialed in or out the virtual, right?
Yeah, the virtual. Mm-hmm. But if you could turn it on completely virtual with another person with Vision Pros on, would it avatar them?
No, but Marques Brownlee did do a thing where he said if you're in a virtual world and you turn on like the moonscape or whatever, and someone walks up to you, and speaks to you, it detects that, and they kind of ghostly
breakthrough. Yeah,
you know, what do they call it? Penetrate the veil, right? Yeah. And they like come into your vision, and you can turn and look and talk to them. Mm-hmm. It's just it's weird. It's kind of eerie. And imagine that's what you get, even if they're wearing another set of Apple Vision Pro. Yeah, right.
I haven't seen one in. I haven't seen two in one room.
Oh, okay. yeah. In the real room, not a virtual room. Right. Yeah. I don't know. I just want to just sit back on the moon and watch a movie. You know, is that too much to ask? No. Okay.
Well, even I think I might have said this on a couple of shows ago. Even if you get you and whoever you live with, both of them, and you're in a room kind of enjoying the same movie, your dogs are going to look at you like, what the hell is it? What are you doing? Like, you know, they're going to try to get on your lap and look at you and they're going to try to lick your Vision Pro. I mean, it's going to be hard.
It's lickable, right?
Yeah. It's lickable. Okay.
It's that good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Can't wait. I can't wait to go in and actually try it out. So, and I am kind of surprised by myself that I wasn't on board day one because I kind of wanted to be, but.
Same.
It just didn't happen this time around because I've been there day one with everything else. Mm-hmm. So,
you have.
Yep. Oh, well. All right. Let's.
I don't know. If you sell all your Apple Watch bands, you might be able to afford it.
Ooh, that's a thought. There's a thought. I like that. All right. Well, we'll get to our, we got to move on here. We'll get to our tips here in just a minute. But first, a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. If you become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, for even for as little as $1 a month, you can help us to keep producing the show. So check it out, on our page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. You can subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. And a big thanks to all of our patrons. You make this show possible. All right, let's move on to, I think we know what we all kind of like this week, but let's do it for real. Vincent, what do you like this week?
Yeah, mine is simple. It's been a few weeks since we've chatted, but I came across a site called Camel. I don't know how. I think it was probably on some Reddit thread somewhere looking for Apple news and trying to find ways to save money. So CamelCamelCamel.com is a site that lets you track the prices of Amazon products as they go up and down, so you can see them over time. And you can also put in a preferred price that you're willing to pay for something X, Y, or Z. I have Apple Pro Maxes in there. I've got some Bose headsets or whatever that is. And, you know, set the price, and it'll alert me if it hits that that threshold. So you can see, you know, the daily specials. You can see the amounts that have dropped. So I just like to peruse the site just for to see if anything that I haven't been tracking drop down in terms of discounts. So once in a while, you'll see something that just will dramatically decrease in price, and that's a great way to scoop up some stuff at a discount.
Now they have a browser extension they call the Camelizer that will track Amazon prices from your browser. Cool. This is pretty neat. I'm just kind of scrolling through it now. And this refreshes with new stuff, I guess, every time?
Yeah, with new stuff, if there's any daily drops or percentage drops, you can track those type of things. But for me, it's just one of those things where you're just, you know, should I buy this now? Is it going to go down again? Is it better than Black Friday? Whatever. It's just like, well,
so it track so it's, for me. It's eBay for Amazon?
Yeah, sort of, yes. You know, that would be cool functionality to say, hey, what hits this price? Just buy it.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Yeah, are there Apple products on here?
There are. I mean, just the typical stuff that you would be able to buy on Amazon.
Right.
You can just put the URL in from Amazon, and it'll track it for you.
Camel, camel, camel.
Why camel, camel, camel?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Because you can save. I guess that's the idea. Okay, very
it works
cool.
It works in a number of countries too, in the EU, Australia, different languages. Okay. Yeah,
you can sign up for a free account.
Mm-hmm.
Free account. All right, nice. All right, Chris, what do you got?
I've just got three little things here, Tom. First, I recently shared some watch faces, which was kind of fun. A friend of mine had put together a really nice modular ultra face. I'm like, I love that face. And next thing you know, texted it to me, downloaded it, and I've been actually wearing it ever since. So I found that pretty nice. And I said, I'm going to return the favor. And I sent him my watch face for on the beach. Remember I described when you're on the beach, you got the watch face. It, you know, does all your, I sent that to him. He said, that's a great watch face. Of course he hasn't been to the beach because it's cold here in the United States, but you know, exchanging watch faces, loved it. Really like that distance tracker for find my iPhone on the watch, you know, and I've used that so many times now. We're like, hey, you're 18 feet away, 16 feet away. That's kind of cool. That's a great feature. So that's another little thing. And then something totally different. I just finished watching a movie called Dumb Money about the GameStop.
I saw
fiasco.
Yeah.
It was very, very well done. I thought it was going to be like a comical kind of caricature of a movie, but it was darn serious. And you get to see people's, you know, how people react in stressful situations. Because I always say that, you know, your true personality comes out in stress, not in happiness. And
true.
And it's interesting that, you know, I would have sold, man, a couple million bucks, I'd have been gone forever. But some people hung it out. So anyway, it was a good movie.
It was a good movie. And I had to wonder, though, that the guy's brother, who was played by, what's his name from SNL?
Oh, yeah.
I wondered if that was really how he was, or if that was just thrown in for comic relief. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah.
He was such a character. But yeah, that was interesting to see the whole story behind the GameStop Wall Street standoff, if you will.
Right.
And it was interesting to see the other side of it too, right? Not just the people, you know, holding, but the ones who were shorting it.
No, the hedge fund guys.
Yeah, the hedge fund guys that lost their shirt. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that whole thing.
Well, one thing that comes up when you think about it is like, you go ask your buddy, can I borrow $20? That one guy's like, can I borrow $3 billion?
Well, okay. It's probably not, but buying an Apple Vision Pro, that's not dumb money, right?
No.
No,
no, okay. Not at all.
Just, not at all. Just checking. Just checking. No. Okay. All right. What I like this week, this is something I heard about from the recent CES, right? What is that? Consumer Electronics Show?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Still called that. Last month. And it's the if you haven't heard of it, it's a big show every year where companies, they get to show off their latest and upcoming tech, sometimes never coming. Some of it is vaporware. But anyway, it's the show that Apple, they never really had a booth at, I don't think, because instead they scheduled Macworld, which was their big event, the same week to announce their new products for quite a long time. And then they even quit doing that. But they usually stole all the media attention away from CES, right? And again, that was many years ago. But this year, one of the most talked about things at CES was not some new breakthrough tech, even though Apple did steal the limelight by once again announcing the release of the Vision Pro during all of that. But instead, it was something very simple. In addition to an existing product, charging cables. Have you heard about this? The big thing was the addition of magnets to the cable to keep them organized and coiled together. I mean, how if you can picture it, it's I don't know if there's actual magnets in the cable or if it's just magnetized the cable itself, but it recoils back to its original shape when it came out of the box, so it never gets tangled.
It's like a slap bracelet.
It is. It's the slap bracelet of cables. Anyway, that was the weird thing. All the people were surrounding these booths that had them as the kind of the big hit of the entire event. So one of my favorite companies that I've ordered a number of products from, Rolling Square, announced their magnetic cables at the show. And they're now available to order. And of course I did. It's called InCharge Magnetic Tidying. That's hard to say. T-I-D-Y-I-N-G. Tidying USB-C to USB-C charging cable. It comes in a 3.3 foot size, which is normally $24, but right now it's $19.90. And the 6.6 foot size is normally $34, is now $29.90. I think that's an introductory price since it's new. But I know this sounds like an ad for their products because I always do stuff for them. I just love the company. They did not send me anything for doing this. In fact, they probably don't even know that this show exists. but I do like their products a lot. So anyway, I ordered two of the 3.3 foot cables last week, expecting it to take a while because it's new, right? But they're already delivered. They were waiting for me when I got back in town. So I thought I might have to wait a while for that. But anyway, it sounds so simple, but it's such a great idea. They uncoil easily. And when you're done, like I said, it just snakes right back into its shape. So on a table or anything, especially when you're traveling, how cool that actually is.
I like it.
Why did Apple not do that? I mean, why did Apple not come up with this idea? Right? It's I don't know. It just seems amazing to me that they haven't yet. Mm-hmm. Now, I think I'm going to turn into a cable snob. and I'm going to look down on ordinary cables that get tangled and frayed, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, it's a braided cable, like a nylon braided cable, plus this magnetic thing keeping it in there. It's never going to break apart like a lot of cables do, right, over time and use. Anyway, Apple... They're the king of magnets, right? That's all they do. They make magical things happen with magnets that you never would have thought of before, and yet they missed the boat on this one. Of course, they'd probably have to charge like $10 more for their already expensive cables.
That's right.
So anyway, if I could, I would replace every cable I have with this kind of cable.
I am putting it on camel now.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so for traveling, I think these are going to be great. I'll put a link in the show notes for this, but they can be found at rollingsquare.com.
And they came out in December. It says it was a $29.66 price drop.
Nice. Okay. Well, must have been pre-order in December because they just announced it at CES. Yeah. So
maybe,
But anyway, all I have to say is it's magnets.
Yeah, bitch! Magnets! Oh!
There you go. That's another great use for that clip. yeah, so again, I'll put a link in the show notes for that. Anything else you can think of that we need to put magnets on?
No, no, I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
That is a great clip, by the way.
That's how to.
Yes, yes.
I just keep my socks up. I don't know.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
To keep your socks up. No, you need a metal plate in your leg to do that. I don't think that'll work, Vincent.
I don't know.
What would it attach to? That wouldn't work.
It cinches around like a band. Who knows?
I think there's even a magnet in the Vision Pro, isn't there? Where the power connects. I wonder if that's magnetic.
I'm sorry.
The prescription lenses are magnets.
Yeah, the prescription lenses are magnets.
That's right. That's right.
There you go. Yep. That's it. That's it. See? Magnets in everything they do except their cables. In the right places of the cable, right?
You should start a new podcast, Fun with Magnets.
Fun with Magnets. Yeah, I like that. Fun with Magnets. All right. Anything else before we click OK and go pick this Vision Pro up tomorrow?
No.
Okay. Oh,
man.
I'll see the text message tomorrow afternoon with your Vision Pro on.
Guess what I got? No. all right. Well, that is all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. Again, if you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. So check it out. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website, and that's at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us, of course, in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. As always, thanks for listening. Stay safe, and until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.